You're listening to the Fun Uncle Podcast.
What's up, nieces and nephews? We're back with another episode of the Fun Uncle Podcast. I am your Fun Uncle Dude, joined by your Fun Uncle Brandon.
Hey.
And your Fun Uncle Cooney. As he munches on fucking popcorn.
I was doing that on purpose.
Brian, you said you had something you wanted to kick us off with.
I wanted to bring it up like in the middle of a conversation.
Oh, okay.
But it's okay. Okay, so I was looking at a yearbook, right? From like 2001. Just scrolling through or whatever, you know, and I asked myself, I was like, damn, I would fuck this bitch. And I was thinking, does that make me a pedo? Because I'm saying, like, I would fuck a 16-year-old.
Okay, so like, I've had the same exact thoughts before, like, myself, like, where you think back and you're like, god damn, she was fine.
Yeah.
But then you're like, wait, she, like, you're, like, you're...
Mine
lasting
stays
image, yeah, is of like a 16-year-old, you know.
Yeah,
it's not ideal. Like, it's not ideal, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like, god damn,
like, I have to like tell myself like, no, fucking 17-year-old dude thought this fucking 16-year-old,
right, right, right. Okay, good. All right,
a lot of gymnastics, boys.
Yes,
a lot of gymnastics.
Yeah.
Pretty sketchy.
And here's my thing. Here's my thing because I did this in a text thread, and I asked him. I was like, does that mean you're a pedo? And my friend was like, yeah. I was like, all right, well, all right. Who's the hottest chick in high school for you?
For me, oh, dude, there was that's a tough one. I would say
just say anybody. Just one of them. It doesn't have to be just
Stephanie Perry.
All right, Stephanie Perry. All right, ours was Cody Baxter. I said, well,
this fucking guy.
What if there was a porn tape that you found out of 16-year-old Cody Baxter? Would you watch it?
No. Not now.
No?
No. No, because that's child porn.
That's child porn, but...
You know what? I had
No, there's no but.
Yeah,
it's from 2001.
Sure. Well, now you're just telling dates, not ages. Ages is the number. I had this same little
that
dilemma.
That would be some pedophile
remember,
shit.
Well, because I never, like, I can't... Before I couldn't like jack off to shit that like wasn't realistic. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like OnlyFans. Yeah.
Like the narrative had to be like something that
yeah,
I could
had to
have
be like
actually
the guy
gotten
with the POV.
Into. I could have got something. Well, not even like just the visual. I'm talking about like just the narrative, the story.
Yeah,
has
it couldn't
to be
the
something.
Pizza guy showing up.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
Like Brandon only got hard for amateur shit.
Well, not even just stuff that had to be like something that you could like find is like actual.
Yeah, that was my next question. What kind of porn do you search? Because when I was younger, I used to search like teen porn when I was young, and
now you still do, and it's weird.
No, I don't search teen porn, but I look for like chicks with a younger looking face. But not like if they're like a fucking, you know what I mean? Like, okay, this, but I mean, if the chick's, you know, she's like 24, like 20 to 24, whatever. Like, I don't want to see the ones where it's like, I got my ID. Look, I just turned 18. Like, I'm not looking at that shit, but I'm still looking at like the younger faced porn. Like, I'm not looking at like,
it's going to bite you in the ass in your real life. Now, I said I had a similar kind of like dilemma because I was like 19 and I noticed that I kept going, like the bank was full of just previous girls. But all of those, I noticed that my imagery in my mind, they were still the age of when I was with them.
Yes.
And I was like, I'm fucking 19 right now. And this was all when I was like 16. Like, that's kind of fucking sketchy. Like, is that okay? And I thought that was fucked up. So I really try to just not fucking.
Yeah, because
I don't know.
Because I have a bunch of pictures I don't know where they are now, of just pictures when we were 16 of girls. Yeah. Like, I don't want to say names, but, you know, when we were at
titties
Mike's.
Titties out.
Yeah.
And fucking, yeah.
Pussies and stuff. Like, when we were at Mike's, we had a good old time.
Dumping into people's rooms.
Yeah, we had the camera
and
they would
pictures
just,
of shit.
Yeah, they would just strip for us and everything. And if I look back at those, like, some of them chicks were hot. when I was young, at that age, you know? Yeah. And I thought they were hot. Like, if I look at them now, like...
But now
like
you're if a if fucking 40-year-old man looking at fucking 16-year-olds?
Yeah, but if I, and yeah. If I was 37 and saw them the way they were, like, now, like if I was 37 and saw them as they were 16, I'd be like, okay, she's cute, but, like, I wouldn't even, like, touch it with
like, do we, like, do, but, do, should boys get a pass on porn that they were, like, a part of when they were at that age?
Right.
It's such a ridiculous rationale. That's so fucking bad, but...
I mean, that's a good
question. I get what you're saying. Is it, though?
It's kind of fucked up, because now it's like...
It's so fucking because
bro. That's, like, I don't want to be on the side of argument, the argument of saying, yes, it's okay, because I don't think that it is, because then I will be labeled in... like when the argument comes up, well, this kid thinks that the age of consent should be 16, and I do not. I don't even think 8. I think 21 should be age of consent. I think 18 is still a little young.
Like, you talking about like statutory type?
Yeah,
shit?
I think 18 is a very young age for a woman. I don't care. Like, I mean, 18, they're still young and dumb. You know what I mean? Like,
no, dude, I mean, you know what? I ran into something sketchy recently in my own mind where I was like, whoa, bro. I think I might have mentioned it before I live right across the street from Green Valley High School,
right.
And it was hot as hell, and the fucking little track team went by.
They're cute.
And all these broads are built like fucking goddesses, you know what I mean? Like, they're working and they're
They look like they're older than
Yeah, and 16. I grabbed myself, I told my wife, I told Liz, I was like, it took a half a sec before I was like, because, well, they weren't like all dredged out in fucking high school gear, so they just looked like a group of women running. But then I put it together and I was like, that's the fucking track group, dude. What the fuck are you looking at? But yeah, I mean, form is form, dude. You know what I mean? Like, it's about that discipline to like take an appreciation, a healthy appreciation, and not let it kind of turn into, you know,
right.
A disgusting vibe. Like, it's a tough. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know me. You remember I was like 20 years old and I was still preying on 16-year-old chicks. And if that was today, I should not have said that. But it's true.
I mean, preying on, yeah, there's not probably, praying, there's a better sentence.
Not preying on them, but like, you know, like I liked the younger women
that's
when
like
I was
a, that's like a classic fucking beef, though. There's always like, you always make fun of those, even in like high school movies and bullshit.
Yeah.
You always talk about those Letterman guys who graduated 4 years ago, but they still show up at high school parties because it's easy to bang fucking 17-year-old cheerleaders when you're 22. You have a car. You have
22.
A
no, I was.
You
it
have
was
a bunch
20.
Of shit.
I was never that old. 22 is.
Well, I always noticed that. We mentioned it before. When I was younger, I fucking hated those guys because you're like,
I was
within
that guy.
The age range, and you're like, you know, you're getting close to a nice thing, and then 22-year-old fucking Ronnie fucking shows up and scoops her up. I'm like, we're going to his house as a pool, and you're like, I don't have any of that shit, like. So I hated those fucking dudes. I was like, because you're not getting by on any, like, character or any actual, like, personal merit. You're getting by on
just,
like, story.
Oh, I was,
because like,
I never
story.
Had a house.
Yeah, you always had a car or some bullshit,
Oh,
though.
Yeah, well, a car.
And you could take them home. Your parents didn't give a fuck.
That's true. But, like, I don't know. I like, when I look back at, like, who I was at, like, 20 and everything, like, I was a bad person. I was not good. I mean, I was doing drugs and everything, too, like... If I could change the person that I was, I would 100%, and I think that I would be in a better position today, not just because of my actions, but because just, I... Because
how you were oriented towards the world would
right,
be
and
different.
I think that I would have had a better education, and I think that I would have started a different job.
Bro, what you're saying right now is what I tell all the church kids when they talk about, like, they hear about the story, the homeless shit, the... Living in Vegas, the doing pills, being addicted to black tar, and all the kind of the story that that adventurous gutter story that people that aren't in the gutter think is so fucking fantastic.
It's not.
It's not. And these kids always, you know, they think their life is boring because they've been grown up, you know, disciplined, and they've been, you know, they go to church, they do this, and they're like, oh man, I wish I had a little spark of that craziness. And in my mind, I think everything you just said, where it's like. But people that have done that gutter bullshit, they wish they were you.
Yes.
Because you're going to be 16. You're not going to be... By the time you hit the workforce and you start having to, like, provide for... Not for yourself, so to speak, but you start having to, like, make your way. What's your cycle? What's your daily going to be?
Yeah.
You know, like, what's your life fucking going to be?
Yeah,
once
funny.
That starts up, those young people that didn't have all that gutter time... There's such an advantage because they're just...
There's so much more life to live,
Oh, my goodness, bro. I tell those kids all the time. I was like, don't get sucked into the movies and all that fucking bullshit, dude. Like, it's all a bunch of nonsense. Like, it's all glamorized through theater, music, and movies, and it's not worth the trouble.
At 16, you know how, like, when you look at, like, a 5-year-old, you're like, oh, my God, they have such an innocent state of mind. 16-year-olds still have that state of mind, and it's weird because when you're 16, you think you're a grown-up. And looking back, like, you even think that you look old, you know, like at 16. Yeah. But when you see a 16-year-old today, you're like, God damn, boy. They look little. They're tiny. Yeah. And, like, that state of mind still sticks with you. But at 16, you feel like you're a grown man. And I think a lot of it has to do with being told that 18 is the age of, like, you know what I mean?
I wonder how much of that is, like, socially constructed. But I do think it is crazy when I see, like, I think of what my freshman year, like, was. And then I look at, like, a group of freshman boys. And they just look like little fucking boys. Yeah, and I'm like, there's no fucking way.
You were that little when you were 16, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, in the same vein, I think Gio passed away when we were 16. Mm-hmm. Good friend of ours. And it was like a striking moment in our life, obviously. We told the whole story. Yeah, we had like a whole episode about the fucking guy. But it was one of those things where when he died, I thought, just like Brian said, like, I thought we were like grown. And now I think back and I'm like, that guy didn't get to do a fucking thing.
No.
16 is nothing. You don't know shit. You haven't done shit. But at the time I thought, like, we've done it all. Yeah. And this kind of like these little thoughts, these ideals are the things that give me a little bit more patience, because I'm a bit on the more conservative side. And when you go online through social media and whatnot, a lot of the youth is super progressive and liberal and left.
Yep.
And I get like, I see a lot of people getting fired up. And in my mind, I'm like, dude, it's fine. They're a bunch of fucking kids. Like, kids say ridiculous shit. Like, yeah.
That's another reason I think that 21 should be the age of, because, you know, 18-year-olds, from 18 to 21, you change your mind drastically.
Well, you hear that little science, that fact, so to speak. Well, yeah, that 7, 14, the 25. 21, well, no, that at 25, your frontal cortex is like when it's done. When it's done growing, and then you can start formulating ideas and putting together things a little bit more clear and a little bit more just fuller at that age. But I don't know. It is a pretty peculiar thing that when you just think of age in general, how this country, like, we're ran by the voices of young people. And when old people talk and they have an opinion, it's kind of just, like, dismissed. That scares the fuck out of me. It's like, bro, this guy's 90.
Wouldn't you want
businesses. Like, there's people that have had these giant full lives.
But at the same
time,
though, times do change. I mean,
really, though, man. I hate when people say that shit.
Because, I mean, just think about old people saying, and, you know, like,
I'm not talking about, like, shitty people and, like, individual like, nonsense. But I'm just talking about, like, just systemic
knowledge
kind
in
of
particular,
stuff where it's like, dog, we don't need to change shit. People just need to do what it says. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know. It's hard to explain, I guess.
But at the same time, don't you always say, we need to get these goddamn old people out of politics? They've been running this for 50 years. Like,
not,
the Senate
not,
and everything.
You know what? Not so much. I don't think I think that sentiment to get old people out of politics isn't so much because they have, like, old
ideas.
It's
because they ended up getting power.
It's because they got that tenure where they get all this fucking money and they kick it and they're... They don't really care. Doing shit. They're not. Right. They don't got their finger on the pulse. They're more. They're doing more things on the side of fucking bankroll than on the side of, like, what the community is looking for, something that society might need. That's the part. Like, I don't think anybody should be in any sort of piece of power for more than a couple years. And
no, of course
the way
not.
Some of these, like, local governments are set up is, like, people are in here for fucking decades and don't do shit and get locked back in. It's same thing with universities. Like, it's the same kind of beef, man. Like, you should have to earn that top spot every now and then.
Every
now and then,
yeah. And that's what the argument about old people not be, you know, they're outdated is basically, I think, you know, it's because the old people hold the positions of power for so long, you know, that it's easy to manipulate things into this situation. And so you automatically think that, you know, most old people think that way. But you're right. I do think that, term limits should be applied to everything in government. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I think most people are kind of falling along those lines now. Especially.
Do you think, is there a way, because I don't know much about it, but is there a way that they can change that to where they can make that possible? to where there is term limits for Senate seats and stuff like that?
I'm sure. I mean, all our paperwork is designed for change. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's the whole Bill of Rights. That's a whole thing of, or the amendments and all that jazz. Like, mm-hmm. those are, that's space to make changes. So, yeah, I'm sure it can be done.
Yeah, so, yeah, shit like that needs to be done. Something like that needs to, because, I mean, it's just getting ridiculous, man. Like, it's, it's, you know, and it's making old people look bad. You know?
Now, that's a shame.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, I remember when I was a young kid, I was very, very Democrat, but I was also conservative, like, in a way.
I don't think when you're a kid, you really knew what the fuck any of that actually meant.
You didn't, but, like, you had, like, a vision of what you wanted life to be.
To me, it was always, like, caricatured. When I was a kid, like, Democrats were, like, working people. Like, it was, like, a blue-collar, white-collar beef. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was, like, Republicans or, you know, white-collar rich folks, older folks
a lot of it,
with a bunch of money, and Democrats are blue-collar folks working their way up. And, like, I don't know, even, I mean, that's not true.
A lot of it
all.
Has
it's
to
all
do...
fucking switched now in the last, like,
oh,
10
yeah,
years.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's been completely.
Yeah, and you know what's
around.
Really weird is, like, you know how when you grow up and you're getting beat by your dad or whatever, you're like, I would never be like my dad. I'm going to treat my kid so nice.
Good fucking luck with that, bro.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be such a different dad. I mean, my dad never beat me, but, you know, like, there were times where he would yell at me and my mom would bring a spoon out and stuff. Like, it was the 80s and 90s.
It's
you know,
that time,
like, we
dog.
Used to get hit. Like,
get upstairs, player.
Right? Yeah, go upstairs, you know? Like,
be up there in a minute. Like, fuck.
And if you look at politics the same way, it's just kind of like the kids nowadays aren't getting beat up. So it's kind of like, what change do they really need to make now? And it's weird because media is bringing race into it to now where it seems like that's what the fight is now. It seems like they're bringing the fight to, like, they're making race seem like it's something that there is. I'm not saying that there is a racism, but I'm saying that racism is not as prevalent.
Not the driving force and fucking... It's like the mechanism of society.
No, but it is a driving force in politics today. And that's what's pissing kids off. And that's what's making them fight for equality. Or, you know what I mean? Like, and it's weird because you have white kids that think that they're fighting for equality between everybody. You know, when... I don't know, man. Like, there's nothing to fight for. Like there, to me, there is equality. Yes, on the side... Black people do tend to get treated differently by cops. And yes, they get side-eyed, but so do white kids with tattoos.
Yeah, I always think
and
it's
so,
so
fucking
weird, dude.
And so do rednecks.
I always feel like the beef you know? Is no, the trouble isn't fucking ever, the trouble isn't addressed where the actual trouble is. Like, they talk
right.
about, like, a systemic racism within, like, police forcing and whatnot. And to me,
there's
I was
a little
like,
bit.
You know, there's a bit
there's
of...
a little bit.
Well, they should have a bigger fucking beef with fucking media and movies
yes!
and radio and 100%. Shit. It's like, listen, bro, you guys for the yes. last fucking 100 years, I mean, it's fucked up. Like, me and my cousin always go back and forth about, like, the similarities in culture and the similarities in the beef with, like, Jews and blacks sort mm-hmm. of thing. And he always says Jews fucking stood up for themselves and they did like they just did more. And I feel like it went too long where if you turned on a TV or a movie or something, like, black people were on some bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, it was always they're like
always
they're always presented as some assholes.
They always
like,
got killed
the only
first
time
in
on the news.
Movies.
Well, just anything, dude. Like, on the news, if all you ever heard about black folks is that they're fucking shooting each other up and did it, how were people
right,
going
right,
to
right,
know
right.
any,
it's
like, different?
True,
It's just a bad look, and that shit's been gone on so much it's permeated in the mind of all
you're
sorts
right.
of people.
Yeah, the media pumped it up like it, that's the way that life was. And when, you know, you're a white person that lives in the suburbs that's not surrounded by black people, when all you hear on television is the ghetto next to you is a bunch of black people shooting each other up every day, you're going to have a certain
all you
view
ever
about
knew
it.
About black folks is fucking world star hip hop, you would be fucking racist, dude. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
If that's all you knew, if that's all right. the tape you ever saw, if that's all you ever saw from the black community,
yeah.
and then anytime black culture got it's brought true. Up, it's like violent, fuck bitches, gangster, get my
it's
money
true.
Shit. how the fuck else are you going to think about a community of people if that's all? And you know what? It's fucked up for me to say as a white guy, obviously, but it's like, it's a bummer that the community never like stepped up and said, you know what? Instead of studying fucking Ice Cube, why study fucking Thomas Sowell?
You know what?
Fucking LeBron and fucking guys. Like, there's other guys on the list that you can look up to.
Same thing you are right now.
Well, it's not a fucking Biggie and all that bullshit. He's like, to get out of this, you got to fucking rap or have a wicked jump shot. And it's like, that's fucked up. That should not have been the rationale for the young fucking black people. It's like, that's like horrible. That that's not fucking anybody's fuck in specific individually, dude. And that's like, I don't know. It's fucked up.
I saw a black man over in a good area of town catching a bus with a suit on. And I was just like, you know what? Like, I mean, this is a normal everyday occurrence. That happens all the time. But if I listened to the media and saw that, I would be like, wow, that's crazy. That's the first time I ever seen it. Like, what? Wow, a black man in a suit in a good area of town catching a bus? Like, you know what I mean? Like that. But that's not the way. Like, that's reality. But that's not something that, you know, the news would tell you, or you would think that.
Well, that's what piggybacks off of this terrible projection of what the black community is. And the only thing to really curb that, if we're not going to step to the media and step to the people that are promoting this and putting this out there, the only thing to do otherwise is just get familiar with actual fucking black folks. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that kind of being familiar and not making it so foreign, that's the easiest thing to do. That's why you go to, like, church communities that are super diverse. Like, the idea of racism is fucking insane because it's just like, no, dude, everybody's a goddamn mess, and we're all trying our best, and you know enough black folks to know that that world star shit isn't all there is to it.
Exactly.
And it goes into any race, dude. Everybody's got their little things, dude. What, you know, all the stand-up comedy shit, dude. White folks can't fucking dance, and they're derp get to do fucking boring, and Mexicans smell, and they're lazy. It's like, there's all these Mexicans fucking are the, things.
That's what's always tripping out. Mexicans lazy my ass. But have you I forgot what I was gonna say now. The Mexicans thing fucked me up for a second.
Sorry, what about Mexicans?
You're just talking about how it's a shame.
Typical like
projections and stuff.
That's the farthest thing from the truth.
I think that like media has a much more bigger hand in like perceptions
and the things that cause
racism than actual like systemic racism. It's like, nah, it's,
by the way, welcome back, dude.
Perception thing, I think.
Do you think the media creates a lot of the tension between
all
racism?
Of it, bro? I don't even want to start with that shit.
Not even just politics. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All of it is fucking half nonsense, dude.
Both sides.
They do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, both.
For sure.
Exactly. Like, for example,
even when I hear that both sides shit, I'm like, when you say both sides, what exactly do you mean by that? Talking about all of fucking, like, entertainment, every single fucking major news outlet has an obvious...
Major outlet.
Every fucking movie has its bend. Everything
Not every
has its
movie,
bend.
But bro. It depends on where, what, like, if it's like a, if it's like a, it depends on what media outlet that is paying for the movie.
Yeah. And how many right-ended media outlets pay for
none.
Movies? That's my fucking point, man. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
well, it's on both sides.
Oh, all
of them.
All
every
movies?
Single
movies?
One of them.
Really? Because fucking man. China Everywhere. Runs, like, all the fucking movie studios.
I don't know how that makes
not
what
China,
I'm saying different.
The Jews. All the Jews do. And not, I mean, not Jews to be racist. I mean, just like saying...
I get being conservative, like,
most
but, like,
of the
being
messaging,
blind.
Most of the messaging from the general media is left driven messaging. Like,
yeah.
Look at all the fucking shows that
it
are
is,
killing it on
it
Netflix and watch
true.
Them closely.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
dude, I turn it off sometimes.
There's
like,
nothing. They all shit
they always,
on
they always have to have okay. that little woke thing in there.
Netflix is a business. So, of course, they're going to cater to, like, what's, like, people
that doesn't
who are,
make a
no,
difference to what I'm saying.
It fucking does, though.
How?
It I get what
because
you're saying.
Because they're
going to
cater
right.
to
Great.
A key demographic.
Awesome. And yes, you are right. But there are also people at the high, at the
look what happened to Chappelle on that fucking thing.
That,
like, what are you talking
about,
bro?
That
like,
run the thing that put, that forced those things in there.
Okay, so what happened to Chappelle? What happened to Chappelle?
People are walking out. Well, the only reason he's not, the only reason he isn't.
His fucking special is still on there.
And the only reason it's on there is because of cash money.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
So that's he's what not I'm canceled. Saying. So what are you saying makes it like, how is that, Oh, well, it's not that. It's that they have to cater to a thing. It's like, okay, great. Like, that's mechanism, but that's not talking about output. Like, my point is, the bulk of media has left messaging, and that's like,
it's true.
Insanely it undeniable. That's why I'm saying when people go, it's both sides. Mondo does that too. It's like, the right's pretty crazy too. I'm like, what?
The right is crazy though.
Okay, I'll take that. But what foothold in the general fucking like geist of media is the right?
Not people much say, compared to the left.
Cool.
Fox News is
now good. Name the rest of all the right. fucking MSNBC, like, national CBS, media. It's like, bro, like, it's not even fucking close.
I get
what people mean when they say both sides, but it's like, I think the tidal wave on one is infinitely bigger.
Infinitely more. Yeah.
I don't know how that's even like, well, are you sure? It's like,
but like the way you stated it is just like you're completely ignoring the fact that the right does the same thing. Yeah, it might not be as big.
Yeah, the footprint's not as big, so who the fuck, like, so what's the point?
It's still fucking
there.
They
do the same thing. But the messaging and the footprint is so much bigger. It's like, okay, yeah, great. The right does it too. Cool.
I see that argument.
To a tiny little degree that's available to the general public against the fucking...
Very minuscule, where they don't rile up anybody. Yep, that's true.
I can't.
Wait, I don't... You know what? That whole riling everybody up thing is a bunch of bullshit.
That's what I'm saying. I hear that. I'm just like, what? Who gets riled?
It's not about
the white supremacists that bullshit. Take over.
It's people.
What are we talking about here?
Sick of the bullshit. It has nothing to do with the right riling people up. It's just a bunch of people that are sick, and they're not right, and they're not left. They're just sick of the bullshit. And it's not the right leading the right like the way the left leads the left. It's the right just saying a certain sentiment that most of America believes in. That most of the Americans believe in aren't political.
Let me give you an example.
They're like fence people?
Yes.
So the right, heavily behind Kyle Rittenhouse, right?
Yeah.
And like...
Well, did you see the
video?
No,
stop. I get defending, you know, your property, your fucking, your home.
You get cross state lines.
Your business, but none of that was
his. His fucking family lives out there. His dad and his whole side of his family lives there.
I agree. I agree.
It's not his. Shouldn't have been there. Because the narrative is fucking, he went over to fucking, he crossed state lines, okay. Got a gun to go kill protesters.
He should not be in jail.
He shouldn't have been there. I'm all for the Second Amendment, protecting your shit.
There was no reason for him to be there. You're right.
No. And like, it to me, wasn't even a race thing. He killed a couple
of
white people.
Exactly.
He killed a couple of white people.
Right. And it was self-defense.
So the right is fully behind him, right? Cool. All right. And then he goes on an interview with Tucker Carlson.
I saw a little bit of
and
that.
Says he supports the BLM movement, and now everybody's fucking turning on him.
That was Nick Sandow, man.
That's the weirdest thing. Everybody's what I don't understand.
There's people with like
you can
fucking,
never please either side.
Like saying like, oh, like maybe he should have gone in jail, but like you were just fucking rah-rah. Right. You know, like a minute ago.
I fucking hate
before he said
people,
that,
dude. I fucking hate that shit. It's a web of fucking vocabulary
because when he says, "I support BLM," no one should get upset with that. But the people that look at the BLM as like an ideological thing that's getting pressed, this little river of thought that's taken over, versus the sentiment of the words "Black Lives Matter." So the people that are like, "Oh, fuck him," they just think he's fucked up because he's taken on some Marxist ideology. Instead of what it might be, that's what I'm saying. You gotta you say something like that. It's like you're gonna want get your definitions fucking lined up.
Right.
That's why I like guys like fucking Peterson. Joe does it all the time. Like if he doesn't understand a word you're saying, or you think there's hey, explain more about that. Because if you just come out of the fucking gates and so I support BLM, there's 90,000 fucking interpretations of what that could possibly mean.
But also ask Kyle Rittenhouse.
So why would you not say... Like, if you don't know exactly what he meant, why get mad?
Because they're assuming what he meant was the thing that they're mad
because
about.
Because the right side
obviously
is just
you know
as
what
crazy
happens
as
when
the
you
left.
Assume.
That's why.
Jesus Christ.
But at the same time, though, if you're Kyle Rittenhouse, why would you not come out and say I support BLM? Like, that would just be insane. You would crucify yourself.
He's the worst fake crier.
I thought that was real.
It
looked fake, but have you ever cried? And imagine crying and being on stand with your life on the line. Like the entire world is looking at you. Like, it's hard enough for me to cry when I know people are looking at me. But if the world is looking at me, dude, that would be tough. Like, I would be holding it back. And if you ever try to hold back a cry, like, you make the weirdest facial expressions that you'll probably never make. So I thought it was real. I think it's
a weird point to, like, people talk about that. It's like, his white tears got him off, his fake crying. It's like, Doug, you ever been on trial? Have you ever murdered somebody? Have you ever been a part of close combat
Snoop
like Dog. That?
Ask Snoop Dogg about it. He'll say that was the worst time of his life. He said that's the worst and craziest time of his life.
Speaking of Snoop, he was on Rogan's podcast recently.
For fucking hours.
Oh, I didn't even see it.
I got through like an hour and a half of it, and I was like, no.
You can't do it.
So before that, Rogan had Theo Von.
Again? And I love Theo.
Theo is awesome.
Him and Rogan have a weird chemistry. Or they did the first one. Was this one better?
Rogan overlooks the funny shit he says because Rogan's not as funny as him.
But it's
Theo Von's little back edge shit is some of the funniest commentary ever. And you actively watch Joe ignore
I feel like Joe secretly looks down upon Theo's
better comedians.
Yes.
He's fucking better than you.
Because he's funnier.
He's clever, more humorous person. And I don't think, Joe wants to laugh and just like doesn't because he doesn't want to like give that boost.
Give him
it's fucked up.
Yeah, like
this is all guesswork, by the way. But like when I watch those two, I'm like, he didn't just notice that. That was the funniest fucking thing ever.
And Theo's younger.
He's a smart boy too, man. He navigates properly.
If Theo says something funny on JRE, like he'll say something fucking super funny and Joe will just go like,
it's bullshit too.
Yeah.
Dude.
He did that this one.
I saw the first one. Yeah. I see him all the time, and I was like, either he's genuinely. It's in the same vein as when I'm fucking yelling for Bobby. Sometimes I can't tell if she's being a little shit and not coming, and then sometimes I can't tell if she's just can't hear me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in my mind, I'm like, does Joe not hear these? Does Joe not hear this, or is he a little shit and he's just not laughing at some of the funny?
I mean, it's been two episodes for about 4 hours. I think he's kind of just ignoring it. Like, I don't want him to overshine me.
I think it's the kind of funny Joe wants to be the most, and he sees that Theo's better at it. Joe works hard to be funny. You hear about his regiment and how he writes and how he works it out, and he's super disciplined, dude. Like, there's something to be taken away from that man. He's an impossibly disciplined dude with a structure, and it's super easy to look up to.
Yeah, but Theo's when you look at the
exactly. So a lot of his comedic success is built off of that hardcore discipline.
Yeah.
So when you get somebody like Theo who just burps nonsense and it's fucking hilarious, it's like fuck that guy.
With Joe, it's a very structured comedy. With Theo, it's almost conversational.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, his stand up is okay. Theo's stand up is okay.
Rogan's stand up is a lot funnier. I haven't seen it.
It's pretty good. It's funny. But Rogan's was way better. I think Rogan's one of my top five.
So you guys went to Rogan and said he was actually funny. Because even Mondo said, like, he doesn't typically make me laugh. But he was like, that little set that he saw was actually very funny.
Incredible. And he said he's never going to release it. I actually got it recorded, too.
So
they took the phones away and I recorded it. So and nobody's going to hear
asshole.
It.
The reason I brought that up is because when he had Theo on, they were talking about that Colin Kaepernick Netflix show, which if you take away Colin Kaepernick.
I saw that clip.
So if you take away Colin Kaepernick and it's just like a show about some, you know, some kid who he's not really fitting in right kind of thing, it's decent.
Mm-hmm.
And they just like, both of them, you know, it's not great.
Some of it was hard to watch.
So they kind of talk shit about it, but like, Joe didn't bring that up with Snoop. Like, I would think Snoop would have a little bit
more insight.
Joe's brilliant. Well, Joe's been a lot more like Snoop was outlandishly against Trump. Like, you know what I mean? Like, super animated hatred for Trump.
Right.
And Joe recently has been a little bit more sympathetic to what the four years came together.
It would be a little awkward.
Yeah, Joe's not going to be like, hey, man, you know, don't you think Trump did some really nice things, perhaps? Like, he's not a fucking moron.
Or what do you think about the Kaepernick special? And he already kind of has an idea.
You can tell when that Snoop fucking podcast started, it was just going to be a celebration of Snoop's longevity, right. His creativity, how he keeps
it youthful.
He's
got a new album coming out with fucking Too Short, E-40, and Ice Cube.
Snoop's got all the balls in the world. I really want to know if him fucking throwing those songs on. He put on whole, like, commercials for the new album. I've never seen any artist or anybody who's ever been on Joe
since like 2000
promote shit like that, where it's like, Joe, let me put this on. Jamie threw him the fucking song. He put on whole fucking songs. Yeah. He's got one with your boy from he put it on. It was one.
Dizzy Wright?
No, man. One of your little wrestling Buffalo motherfuckers.
Oh, Benny the Butcher.
Yeah, he's got a song with fucking Benny and fucking Jada that's out of control. Jada's the best on earth right now, maybe.
That's Jada? Yeah, dude. What's funny?
It was the one who just... It's not Jada. Who's the one who just fucking destroyed fucking Dipset on that
little
Jada Kiss?
Dude, I used to have arguments with Tyler Shills all the fucking time about who's a better lyricist. Jada Kiss or Crooked Eye, and I was always Crooked Eye.
And now it's a lot closer. And now, in those days, I'd say Crooked Eye for sure.
Right. But I mean,
now it might be a bit closer.
Yeah, Jada's killer, dude.
You know what? He wanted Joe to look up this video of all of those guys on.
Did you see the one where he said with Biggie and Pac on stage?
Yeah, stage kicking it.
So there was like 2,000 views at the time.
All of them. Yeah, he said too. He said there's this many views on it. Check it in a week. Yeah, and sure as shit.
I checked it just recently. It's still. I mean, it still hasn't really blown up. It's gotten more. Wow. It's gotten more, but it's not like...
No one when cared, I saw it, it was know? Like, I think, see, like 50,000 or cool something.
Cool thing for me to hear. I always knew that kind of shit existed.
Me too, but just to see actually...
I seen the pictures of Biggie and Pac together all the time when I was a kid.
That's different.
Let me ask you guys a question. How different is the hip-hop genre?
It's not even hip-hop anymore.
How different is it if Biggie and Tupac didn't exist?
If they didn't,
exist. I think they would have matured like Jay-Z did, and kind of made different.
He's saying if they didn't, if they were never,
if they didn't exist, if they didn't exist,
so like no influence on anybody.
I think it would be the same.
You think so?
Yeah. I don't think right now because would have happened earlier.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
I think Tupac put a little bit of conscientiousness into it,
and Biggie put lyricism into it. But I don't think they made an impact for a couple of years. But after that,
it's like how different would wrestling be if Stone Cold wasn't around? It's like probably the same.
Probably the same. You know what I mean? But for that year, yeah.
But who knows? Because like without Stone Cold, maybe Vince loses.
Maybe there's no.
And maybe there might not have been as many gangster rappers either. And lyricism might not have been looked at. Like Eminem might not have, you know.
Like, how different is Death Row?
That's actually a good question because they're two totally different artists. Because Biggie had the lyricism.
How different
and
is Death Row?
Death
Row was doing good before Pac, though.
I don't know. That's actually.
But Pac kind of like put them over that edge where it's like now Death Row is a force.
Yeah, that's no joke.
That's actually a good question.
Like you know, like what happens with Puff?
I'm keeping that one in the memory bank.
I think East Coast music is more effective. Those two disappear. East Coast music is different than West Coast music because without Biggie, I don't know if Puff gets to grandstand the way he got to for all that time. All his production influence isn't a thing. That kind of gimmick glitter rap with Mace doesn't become a thing right away. So I think everything happens closer to time. So then guys like fucking the Lox and Dipset show up maybe
Lox,
5 years earlier.
Lox might not even have been there because they were with Bad Boy. They got signed with Bad Boy.
Yeah, but they would have find their way somewhere on Def Jam.
But
there's
they wouldn't
no
have had the Money, Power, Respect album.
They could have. It just might have been a Def Jam album. Right.
That's true.
I don't know. It's super interesting. I mean...
Shine would have never went to jail.
I've seen a...
Shine might have had some dope albums.
He sounded just like Biggie, though.
He did.
It's like the fucking, what's his name, Czarface sounding just like Jay-Z. Have you heard this motherfucker? The old guy that MF Doom used to do all his villains?
Yeah.
Bro,
and he's dope,
like
too.
He
can rap.
He's way sick. It just sucks because it's like...
Sounds just like Jay.
His voice, his inflections are so much like Jay-Z. Yeah. It's like, damn, no one's ever going to jump full board with this guy because it just
like, if you played it for a kid, they're like, oh, that's cheesy.
Yeah, too many artistic kids wouldn't. There needs to be something authentic about it. Yeah. So just because he sounds so much like another
dope,
guy.
Yeah, you could be the dopest rapper in the world, but if you have the cadence and the sound of somebody else.
Yeah, that NF guy, he's that Christian like rapper. He's great. He just sounds too just much like fucking Eminem. So it's like, yeah, no one's. Exactly. Guys like that that need that authenticity in their art, they're not going to get into it, even though the content's mildly different. The skill's super good, but if the aesthetic is the same, it gets overlooked easily.
I can't get into NF.
That's funny, man. There's a ton of those, fuck, dude.
Yeah, it's sad.
It was like, there's like Lil Dicky. There's so many of these, like, white boy grandson. There's so many of them, and they're all the same. Not the same, so to speak. They have different styles, but that quirky, more about home
I'll
life.
I'll tell you one dude who sets himself apart from everyone.
Tom McDonald.
I was just about to bring him up. Like, what's crazy, he up to? Man.
You know what's gnarly about
him? He just
him?
Released a new video called Balloons or something.
His fucking videos are amazing.
My it's not God, a joke, man. He's doing his incredible. Thing. Incredible. In my mind, there's a couple of guys like that that are just like taking their shit into their own hands and using this modern fucking social media to like they're directing their career.
Like what Atmosphere did 15
times
years
a million, though. Yeah,
right. Well, because they have more
the,
of a reach.
The range is different now. But yeah, I always give Rhymesayers and all those guys like
the beginners.
Props. Those are the first guys who are like, fuck Berry Gordy, dog. I'll do my own
well,
shit.
Yeah, because if you think about it, all like before 2000, before Rhymesayers, all the other like indie labels had a major label.
They were
label.
Not indie labels. Right, because they had a major label. They were offshoots of some fucking bigger shit.
Rhymesayers was like, I mean they had, I think they were with Atlantic, maybe Rhymesayers was, but they didn't have the push. Rhymesayers didn't push them, you know. Yeah, or, I mean, Atlantic didn't push Rhymesayers. Rhymesayers went out and did their own footwork. Like, I remember Moosa telling me that they would travel to New York with $5 in their pocket and just go in. Meet all the artists and just got big that way, you know, through going to each city networking. And meeting each every artist.
Old school networking. They got that old Atmosphere song called Outer Net, talking about network, build our overall net worth. You know what I mean? Like shit like that, where it's like this thing's about shaking
hands.
Dude,
we need to get Saab on here
one time. That'd be, I mean.
My bad.
I'd feel like an asshole and just talk about fucking Slug the whole time. He'd be like, what am I even doing here?
we'll do it. I'll reach out to Ty and Saab and see if we can get it done. That'll be cool.
Come on here, guys. I want to talk about the old days.
I had this idea, too. I just had this idea. I've always thought this, but do you have, like, an outfit that you wear at home, like, just at home that you wouldn't go outside with? You know what I mean? Like you just have, like, a pair of shorts and a shirt that you always wear at home, but, like, you wouldn't go outside with it?
No.
No?
Or do you have, like, an outfit that you just wear at home?
Nope.
No.
I've never
guys don't have enough clothes.
Dude, you've been...
Do you have
just found a fucking old yearbook, and he took a bunch of pictures and put it on a thread with all the boys on there that went to the school. And I'm legit wearing the same shit.
Same that's in my, shit.
Even the comments on the thread were like, yo, that dude dresses the fucking same.
Like, but no, because I'm
it's always
like,
been like that.
Because like, I have a pair of basketball shorts, and I have a few shorts and a few pants and a few shirts that I wear just strictly inside. And like I'll only wear it if I go to a store. But like if I'm going out, I won't wear it.
That's just a weird not weird, but that's just like a standard. You know what I mean? It's like
but and I was thinking like, do you think that rich people, like people that live in mansions, I always feel like they dress nice 100% of the time. I feel like you could never catch somebody in a mansion wearing, like, dressed down basketball shorts and a regular tee.
Well,
I feel like they're always
true.
Wearing jeans or cargo shorts.
Well, you see all those
shit,
fucking
like,
National Review fucking, all those janky fucking celeb papers of catching, like, Timberlake fucking walking his dog and he's in fucking shorts and
shorts and a hoodie and fucking flip-flops.
Like, oh. See, that's weird. I couldn't picture that. I don't imagine that. Like,
there's
I imagine celebrities just
built
always
on
being
those photographs.
If I'm rich as fuck, I don't give a shit what I'm wearing.
Yeah, dude.
Like, I mean, my dog needs to take a shit, I'm gonna go walk him outside.
See, but that's weird, though, because I look at it opposite. I look at it like,
Brian's like,
would never
hold
be
on, pup, I gotta change.
No, I feel like they don't have an inside.
My dog walking outfit.
No, I feel like they don't have an inside look. Like, you know how, like, when you're dressed inside, you just have a different look than if you were to go outside? I feel like rich people and celebrities just have one standard look. Like, even when they're inside alone, they dress the same as if they were about to go outside to a club.
No, just look at fucking
fucking that Kardashian show. Like, they're just chilling a lot of times. Just
I never watched
yoga pants, fucking little top. You know, they're just chilling.
That's something you can wear outside.
I mean, something they can wear outside, but it's not like they're like fucking like in a dress 24/7.
Right. I don't know. I just bum it so often that I don't think that rich people bum it as much as me.
Well, they go out and do shit, bro.
Right.
They're not in the house all fucking time.
They don't have sting jackets.
Yeah.
It's actually... Is it new?
Fuck rich.
Is that an AEW one?
Yeah, it is an AEW one.
I was going to ask you, like, would you even have that jacket if you wasn't with AEW? Fucking Mark.
Probably not, because it wouldn't... Because I got it from Pro Wrestling Tees. So probably not. Because I was a WWE guy. I was never much on Sting. I was never like a, you know, I didn't watch WCW enough to be a Sting guy.
Even when he was dropping from the ceiling with the bat, bro.
Right.
Oh, I saw that shit. But I hated on it. I was envious of it, actually. I liked it.
I thought it was better than your dumbass WWF.
But I fucking hated it because it was better.
Do you guys ever, has Black Friday ever been like a thing for you guys?
No.
Yes, we did.
You know what's funny, man? I wish it fucking was, because I always think of shit we need, and I'm like, man, a laptop would be cool, or this would be cool, and then I think, I would never buy that. And then my mind goes, you know, Black Friday, these things are like fucking... It's fucked up, because when I think of Black Friday, I get hella selfish. I'm like, what do I need? I don't think of other people. I'm like, damn, because, I mean...
There was a time where our family...
Shit's super inexpensive that day, so...
There was a time where our family went out for a couple years straight and did the 5 a.m. shit, and it was just fun. Like it wasn't to get anything in particular. There was, like, two or three things that we wanted.
Like, just to like, be an asshole, like where, like, fucking employees have to be there because you're there at 5?
No, because, like, it was a cheap TV or just, like, a couple big things. But after that first year... It became like, oh my god, that was so fun. Let's just stay up and drink all night and fucking go out.
I saw this.
So that's what we did.
I saw this funny tweet where some chick, she said, every year, all y'all talk about, you need a new TV. What happened to the TV from last year?
Right.
But like having worked in retail like most of my life, like I've done plenty fucking Black Fridays, and all you shoppers are fucking annoying.
See, we went there. We were probably super annoying.
Camping out and shit. Fuck.
We never camped out. We went there, but we were probably super annoying because we didn't go to sleep and we're still drunk the night before. Yeah. So like we out like for 3 or 4 years straight. Our family made a thing of it to like let's stay up and
destroy
get wasted
Best Buy.
The craziest thing I ever seen was when I was working at Best Buy in Burbank, and it was like. I don't know. I think we opened at 5. I had been there since midnight.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I was one of those people that fucking
did. And it sucked because it's like, okay, my shift starts at midnight. I just had dinner like 4 fucking hours ago.
Fuck.
I tried to take a nap. Couldn't,
yeah.
So I'm dead tired. That's the day that I drank like fucking like 4 monsters in a row and I thought I was going to die.
The heart.
But the door's open, right? And it was just like a flood of people. 5 a.m. Flood of people. And you see this fucking old lady. She was maybe late 50s. Her heels get clipped with a shopping cart. She falls on her face. And now there's just people. Like, luckily, they weren't stepping on her. But nobody was fucking helping her. Like, I had to jump on the counter and shout at people. Like,
are you serious?
Yeah. I was like, help her up. Yeah, because like
you're a scary dude too.
People were just fucking like walking, just running and walking around here. I'm like, are we not fucking humans? Like Jesus! Like I understand you need this fucking Blu-ray player, but fuck,
you always hear about motherfuckers dying and shit. Like 3 people died when they opened the malls of America. On Black Friday.
I actually started a riot once when I went to a Walmart and Oh, man. It was, like, one of those things where, like, certain things went on sale at certain times. So, some things would go on sale at 5, some would go at 6.
Oh, yeah, I hate when they do that.
Yeah, and then they were wrapped up. One of them went on sale at 6. I forget what it was now. But it was, like, 5:40-something. I don't know. It was, like, a couple minutes before. And they were wrapped up, and everybody was just surrounding it, waiting for it to be 6. And I was just kind of looking around. I was like... Fuck this. And just I just tore the fucking plastic wrap off and took my shit, and then everybody else started doing it after me. I thought it was so funny, but like when I was walking away, I was like, oh my God, like because I got mine and walked out real quick. I just kind of like snuck under the fucking thing and I saw what I did. I was like, oh man, I'm an asshole. I do that so much, man. I am such an asshole. But I'm such a nice person, and I wonder why such bad shit happens to me all the time. It's because I do such shit like that.
Yeah? You think so? Yeah. That's funny.
Because, I mean, I'm genuinely a nice person.
Are you a firm believer in karma?
Yeah, and that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm genuinely a nice person, but I do fucked up shit sometimes.
What about you, Brandon? Like, you're the most religious out of us. Like, is karma even a thing for you?
Good question.
Yeah, but it's that definition thing I said again. I was like, listen, if you're going to say something out loud like fucking I do or don't support BLM, it's like you better take a half hour to break down exactly what you're saying. So right. It's similar to any sort of like religious talk, especially in a pluralistic society like we live where these phrases are just kind of thrown out there to anybody's general understanding. So if you want to like nail down something, it's real hard. But, like, I believe in, like, karma in the way that it bounces off. I mean, no. You know, if what's a direct, like, definition of karma? Is like, paying for a previous life? I don't think that's right. A thing.
Well,
I don't think that previous lives
are a thing.
It could
be in the same lifetime, too, though, right?
That's what, okay. That's, do you understand what I mean now? Because now I'm talking from a thing, and you're like, you have that thing in your head. While I'm answering, you're digesting the answer through that thing.
Right.
And it's not even what I'm talking about. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the beef with not having, like, super defined terminology before you dive into anything. It's kind of fucking gnarly.
So you believe more in karma as in the next, in the afterlife?
I guess, yeah. I mean, I think that you get through this fucking mess.
So it's almost like the way we compare a 16-year-old to a 35-year-old to a 65-year-old. It's almost like the next life, this is just the very beginning of...
Well, yeah, I guess in like a super simple like perspective is like this is like the job interview for the afterlife after the afterlife.
Yeah.
The afterlife after life. Does that make sense?
Well, who knows what life we're in? This could be like our sixth lifetime.
Could be. And that's what faith is about, because there's all these indicators of things you could believe like from a scientific measure. But then there's like little things like that, metaphysical truths that you cannot lock down. You just can't. So if you're going to claim any of these things as something that you trust is true, you're taking it on faith. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're right. Maybe there is, maybe karma is a full-fledged thing. There's just really simple things that are like, because if you go to like the religions that put out karma, that kind of espouse that as like a metaphysical truth, that this is how shit works. In my mind, it's like simple where it's like, so this is a real thing. This is an objective truth, karma, this mechanism. Do you see that ever in your real life? I don't. I see pieces of shit winning every single day. I see good people getting taken advantage of. I don't see my existential relevance, like my experience of life, I don't see karma. I don't see karma at all. So that's my first big like takeaway. Do you believe in karma? I'm like, no, it doesn't seem very apparent. It's not obvious to me that karma's a thing. And two, if it's a repayment of a previous life, what were we paying for? Because it's all about getting
balance.
Born.
Do you think there's a balance?
No, that's a dualism that I don't really believe in either. Like, do you like when you say a balance, talking about like good and evil is balanced on
balance
Earth sort
between
of thing?
like if something, I mean, for as much, it doesn't have to be something good happen, something bad will happen, but just your life will balance out.
No, do you see that when you see like kids born in the fucking Middle East in like war torn areas? That balance in kids
right,
with leukemia?
But it doesn't have to be
old people
okay,
with
but
Alzheimer's.
That's humanity.
Like, yeah.
Right. So like we are all one, right? Do you think possibly?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's where the Imago Dei, the image of God thing, that's where
right,
that
so,
comes from. It's
so
like we're all
does
stamped
balance
with this thing.
If you look at it that way. But individually,
I think it all balances out because Christianity, the biblical worldview, says that there's a second thing. There's a new creation that's coming at the end of the first one. And then there's all these things that are real peculiar.
Do you think it's dimensions? Do you think we're in a third dimension?
How did we get here,
Brian?
We're talking about dimensions now?
Well, because it goes with what he's saying, because in the next life, I think that we get into a next dimension. Right now, I think we're in the third dimension, and
almost by like dimension. Definition, so we're leaving.
We're not here. Like, why are we in the third? How did you come to that conclusion, we're in the third dimension? The why not the second or fourth?
Well, because of the way science explains it, like one dimensional. Well, you're talking. See, I think you're conflating
things that a lot of people do all the time when we're talking about. We're trying to use like scientific language to talk about non-scientific shit. Like by definition, it's non-scientific because if there's things that are outside of physics, then it's not going to be anything like observable through like a scientific method. But we're using things like 3D, and it's like you're just saying that because you've heard that.
Well, yeah,
that's a phrase. That's just a phrase for me to explain. That's what we experience. That's observational experience. It's three dimensional.
It goes much deeper.
So
than
are
that.
We
you
in
know
the
know
third dimension?
Saying,
it's like those things aren't.
Okay, well, it doesn't
same.
Matter if we're third dimension or not. But it's just the dimension that we are in.
I definitely think, dude. I mean, Christianity is a super duper fucking supernaturally fueled fucking worldview. Like, I
dude,
believe
you
want to
say
shit.
Something? Say it.
My question was more like, do you feel if you do good, you'll be rewarded? And if you do bad, like, yeah, like bad shit will happen to you. You're over here talking about dimensions.
Well, yeah, because the dimension, the next dimension, or the when we pass away, depends on what dimension you go to, I believe. And that's just like.
But at that point, who cares? You're dead.
Right, but your soul connects to that next dimension.
Yeah, but what if that reconciliation, what if that justice of your life, that good and bad you're talking about, what if none of that gets meted out until the next dimension, so to speak?
Right, so, and that's a good question about the karma. Do you...
Cause that's what I mean. I don't... Yeah,
that's what you were saying.
Well, karma, when people think about karma, it's more of like... Not,
I'm a dick. Am I going to stub my toe tomorrow?
Yeah,
that's what.
Yeah,
that's
maybe not necessarily like immediate.
Nonsense. Yeah,
but like Brandon does good for his community and this and that, and in like 2 years from now, like he'll
get $1 million job.
You're like maybe not $1 million job, but like he'll fucking toss a sports bet in a parlay.
And hit it.
Do you think
that's what karma is, dude? Do you think that?
I mean, for me, it's all up to your interpretation, because I've held on to shit where like I've done bad. We've all done bad shit when we were younger, and it's like I'm now 41. I'm not that fucking 15, 16 year old anymore. But if something like kind of shitty happens, I'm like, I mean, I probably deserved it.
Yeah.
You know.
But do you think, okay, so do you agree with B saying that karma isn't necessarily introduced into this life, it goes on to the next?
I mean, it could be. I mean,
this is all faith stuff, man.
Yeah, we won't know till we get there.
Yeah.
Do you think, because...
I only believe in what I believe because I'm drawing from a Judeo-Christian worldview that the guy who came back to life said. I only take that Old Testament and that New Testament serious because apparently some Jesus of Nazareth told all his buddies before he got caught, clipped, and killed that he was going to come back to life 3 days later. And then he fucking did. So it's like, I'm going to take his word for it.
This is my idea. That we are in the middle of the lowest level of hell and the highest level of heaven. Like, we're in the middle. Like, we live inside the middle of the lowest level of hell and the highest level of heaven.
That's actually not like fucking that far off from like old Judaic and, like ancient cosmology when they talk about Sheol and the underworld is
but
where
we
dead
also
people
but
are.
But we have beings that we don't understand that live in those areas up and
all
below
three.
Us
all three
and they communicate with us, and some of us are smart enough to be able to catch it and communicate back, and some of us aren't. Most of us aren't.
I mean, it all depends on
how you're influenced. Karma, for sure.
Right.
I believe in externalities that have influence that, over our, like, moral dilemmas in our mind. Like, that idea of, like, a good angel and a bad angel, like, giving you fucking shit one way or the other. I think that inner dialogue is way more realer and way more sophisticated than a lot of people kind of just brush it off as. Yeah. It's like, nah, man. That shit is real. That dialogue is very real.
And do you think
when you orient yourself around like a Jesus centric life, then you'll notice the different kinds of conversations that those angels and demons have, while you're having these moral dilemmas, and that's how you know that something is sacred, because it changes you, it transforms you. I read the Bible, that moral dilemma, that conversation is different. I go out in the world with that difference. The world changes me a little bit. I go back to something sacred like Scripture, and then I adjust to that. That back and forth, that tension is, that's what it's all about. And during that time, you're working on your sanctification, where you're imaging yourself more to be like the Son of God, more like right. Jesus, the supreme ethic, the logos that walked among us.
Do you think that the way that we live our lives depends on which level we go to? Like if we go to, like if we go to the lower level or the higher level? Like lower level being like,
but we're all in the middle level. Demons.
Don't you have to,
on any of that?
Don't you have to live your life in order for that to be determined?
You do. And so do you think that the karma that you live on, that the way that you live your life today, do you think that good karma and bad karma can determine which state you elevate your soul into?
No, I'm a big fan of like free will. So I think no matter what kind of like obstacles or whatever externalities that might have kind of forced you into a space, I do believe in like good spirit that'll kind of guide you and give you that trapdoor to make a choice to still orient yourself around.
So you can
like
die and still, so you could be dead and still have a decision, or God still gives you the.
I'm not sure about that. That's the scary shit. And you know, Mormons think that you can pray for dead people, you can baptize, you can baptize in the name of the dead. So there's a lot of people that take Scripture and the Judeo-Christian worldview very serious that have an opinion about that. When I read Scripture itself, it's difficult to decide, because there's that one verse, and you shouldn't draw a whole theological like position off of a single verse, when that single verse is part of 66 different fucking books. It's like, you're going to want to get the overarching message before you just kind of determine
something.
Do you
need that message,
by
though?
One sentence. Yeah, because that's what we're talking about, Brian.
I know, but most people don't, so that would mean that everybody's going to hell.
No, because of the different things that are in that messaging. If you read a bunch of Romans, there's a ton of that shit that talks about.
Can you just have the knowledge? You can have the knowledge without reading it, right? Like you can.
Yeah, and that's what the image of God is that you have this moral, like,
compass.
This objective moral value is stamped into your heart. And if you follow that, I mean, Catholic position is that, you know, if you're a self-proclaimed atheist and you don't believe in God, Catholics are wide open enough to be like, listen, they might say they don't believe in it, but they don't act like it because they live upon that moral space in their heart. And if somebody follows the correct moral like trail, you know, if they're having those moral dilemmas in their decision making and they choose the angel every single time, regardless of that guy's knowledge of Christ crucified, he's going to get into heaven, so to speak, because walked morally upright.
It's like you've brought up the example before. Like, say, like, there's a tribe somewhere that has no connection with civilization.
Right.
You know, and if there's, like, somebody within that tribe that does nothing but good, and they, you know, and it's their time to go.
You really think God's going to have the balls to cut them off? Like, come on, guys.
Yeah, they'll be in front of, you know, in front of God, and they'll be like, what is this? Like, and they've never heard of JC before.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And that, you know what, those conversion stories are so fucking sick, because when you hear about that, they haven't heard of JC specifically, but they have their own gods. Then Christians go in there and say, I love, this is a territorial God. Let me show you the Tower of Babel. Let me show you Psalm 82. Right. Let me show you that you are worshiping a false God, and that I have access to the God of gods, Yahweh, the creator God. And then there's supernatural things that happen, because these people... See, in the West, we don't have any sort of, like, space for any, like, supernatural reality. But in these tribal areas, it's all supernatural, bro. And so the landscape is perfect for an event. And it usually happens, like in the Old Testament, dude, when they're talking about, you know, is Baal worshipers worshiping the right shit? Or are these Yahweh worshipers worshiping the right shit?
You can worship the same shit or different shit, but still both be right.
Ah, no. I don't think that's a thing.
No.
Talking about God, bro. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I hear that shit sometimes, and I'm just like, if we can even halfway fathom a solution to any of this, I think God's got it wrapped up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. So
he knows what he's doing.
Do you?
Yeah, dude. It's that old fucking what's his name? William Lane Craig does that whole thing a bunch.
So we're going to get out of here. Just do good.
Yeah, just do good. Yeah,
that's all you got to do. Just
love
do good.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yep.
Rule number one.
Be nice. Don't be a dick. Especially during the holidays. Fucking, if you can, spread some cheer.
Someone says Merry Christmas. Don't flip them off. Or, you know what I mean? It's like, just go with everybody's shit. I couldn't imagine someone saying something in good cheer to me and then me having the balls to, like, correct them and be like, oh, I don't believe in that. Fucking breathe, lady.
Not Merry Christmas.
That stuff always trips me out.
It's happy holidays.
Take that Christmas tree off the Starbucks cup now.
Oh, man.
Anyway, we'll catch you all next week.
Woo-woo.
Thank you for joining us. Love you, Jess.